I thought we'd spend just a few moments in Psalm 119, not going on to the next stanza, but just looking at a theme in this psalm that we've been studying on Sunday evenings. And so if you'll turn to Psalm 119, we'll just take a moment and I'll show you this theme for our edification. You know how we're taking the 119th Psalm as a touchstone of real, genuine Christian experience. We want to measure ourselves against the experience of this psalmist because that's why this psalm is here. And so we've been tracing his growing maturity. We've been tracing all the steps of his pilgrimage, the ups and the downs. And tonight I want to show you the frequency that he speaks about his feelings regarding the Word of God. Over 30 times, this man who's growing in grace testifies to how he feels about God's Word. So, for instance, in verse 103, he says that God's words are sweet to his taste, yea, sweeter than honey to his mouth. And in verse 111, he tells us that God's testimonies are the rejoicing of his heart. And there's two other times where he uses that expression, that he rejoices in God's word. There are the times that he says that he longs for God's word, such as verse 40. Verse 40, he says, "Behold, I have longed after thy precepts." And over in verse 20, he says the same thing, "My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times." He longs for God's word. And then seven times, he says that he delights in God's word. It's sweet to him. He longs for it. He rejoices in it. He delights in it. But there's one emotion that he testifies to above all others. 10 times he says this about his experience with the Word of God. He tells us simply that he loves God's Word. 10 times. Let me show you the 10 in the sequence in which they appear. The first time he says it in verse 47. And 48, "I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes." Verse 97 is the second time he says something about this. Verse 97, "Oh, how I love thy law! It is my meditation all the day." Verse 113, "I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love." Verse 119, "Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross, therefore I love thy testimonies." Verse 127, measure yourself against this one. "I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold." Verse 140, "Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it." Verse 159, "Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness." Verse 163, "I hate and abhor lying. but thy law do I love. And finally, verse 167. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. Dear congregation, is this our experience? Can we truly, in sincerity, say that we love God's Word? Or would our conscience keep us from making that sort of public testimony? Do we love God's Word? I just want to point out three things about this so that we can accurately assess ourselves. In the first case, we see in the entirety of this psalm that this man's love for God's Word was comprehensive. It was impartial. He loved everything about God's Word. You remember how the psalm sprinkles those eight terms for Scripture all through it? There are those eight terms, and each one's used between 19 and 26 times. So they're pretty evenly dispersed. Every one of those terms he uses as the object of his affection for God's Word. Think about that. Three times he says he loves God's law. He loves God's law. The word law, of course, is the Hebrew word Torah. It has to do with God's instruction. It comes from a root that has to do with pointing. And so his law is his pointing out of the way. And the psalmist says he loves that. He loves it when God points out the way forward to him. He loves God's law. Three times he says he loves God's commandments. That's an interesting thing, isn't it? Because you remember what the Apostle Paul says about commandments in Romans 7. He talks to us about how commandments provoke our flesh. How that our flesh, that unredeemable part of our humanity, bristles when God gives it an order. But evidently, this man is being changed, he's being matured, and he knows the experience of checking that bristling that naturally occurs whenever someone, and especially God's Word, exerts its authority over us. Whenever someone attempts to exert raw authority over us, we bristle. But he knows the experience of checking that and of coming to love God's commandments, both when God tells him what to do, a duty, or when God prohibits something to him, something that's forbidden. He loves to be commanded. It's an amazing thing. He says twice that he loves God's testimonies. Maybe you're still there in verse 167, the last couple stanzas there. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. God's testimonies are how he bears witness to things. How he bears witness to things that we would never have known because we weren't there to witness it, or because we lack the experience to know this about the world in which we live. And so God's testimonies would be things like Genesis 1 and 2. No one was there to observe that. That is not something that we can verify through any kind of external process. God bears witness to a six-day creation, and we love that. We're not embarrassed by God's testimonies. We love when he bears witness to us something that we would never know otherwise. God's testimonies are things like, the way of the transgressor is hard. We wouldn't know that as a young person looking out into the world. You look at transgressors and it seems to be going well for them. You see them on television, you see them in media, it seems like they have everything a person could ever want. You would never know the way the transgressor is hard. God comes and He bears witness. He testifies. I'm telling you, this is how it is. The way of the transgressor is hard. And the psalmist says he loves it when God does that. He loves God's testimonies. He rejoices in them. He loves God's words. So, for instance, in verse 140, "Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it." He loves to hear God's voice. And that's something to remember, that when we are reading God's word, this is not static, black and white words that have been recorded on a page thousands of years ago. Whenever we're reading God's word, it is the living voice of God speaking in the present tense to me personally. That's the way to read your Bible. Not out of historic curiosity. Not out of seeking to solve all the theological conundrums. The way you read your Bible is that you're hearing God talking to you. His voice in the present. He's speaking in His Word. He loves to be spoken to by God. He loves God's Word. He says in verse number 20 that he longs for God's judgments. That's an interesting thing. I mean, think about that. Longing for God's judgments. God's judgments are His verdicts. They're the conclusion that He has come to about certain issues. And this man is not sitting and holding his breath in suspense and fear when he opens his Bible to search out God's verdict on a topic and kind of cringing and hoping it's not going to say what he thinks it's going to say. That's not his attitude. He loves to hear God's verdicts. He doesn't see his verdicts as antiquated, out of touch, outdated. Mankind has obviously moved beyond that, and we're more enlightened now than they were back then, so that verdict really isn't. No, it's not his attitude. He loves God's verdicts, God's judgments about every issue. He loves, he longs for those testimonies. And he loves God's statutes. Verse 54 says, "Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage." His statutes are his songs in the night. God's statutes are his inviolable, inflexible, permanent ordinances. When this man comes across those, when he comes across the statutes, he doesn't ask, "Now, why does it have to be like that? Why is it so inflexible? Why is that so permanent? I can see how they could live that way back then, but now, how is this still binding on my conscience?" That's not his attitude. He loves and longs and even sings of God's permanent statutes. In fact, the thing that rejoices him about those statutes is that they are permanent. That so much is changing, so much is adrift in our world. And there's a permanency to what God has said. It's not temporary. It's not passing away. "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." And so he rejoices in God's statutes. So you see that one of the ways that we can gauge our relationship with the word and see proof that our relationship to our Bibles is not purely academic, as it so easily can be, is to put ourselves to this test. Do I love every part of God's Word? Is my love for God's Word comprehensive, and impartial. There's no discrimination in this man's love. It isn't a case of his promises. Oh, how I love his promises. I can't tell you how much comfort and love and joy I get out of God's promises. But I really have to grit my teeth when God tells me no. That's not his attitude, is it? He loves every aspect of God's word, and he testifies to that love. Measure yourself by that. A second clarification about his love for God's word is that this man's love for God's word has caused him to hate what is contrary to God's word. He has an antipathy for its opposite. He has an antipathy for anything that would threaten his relationship with the Lord in the Word. It's like parents. If your neighbor has a pit bull that springs at the fence every time your small child gets near, you have an antipathy about that pit bull. And if you don't, then your love for your children is going to be called into question. It's the same thing with the psalmist. You see verse 128, for instance. 128. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Across the page in 104, very similar expression. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Do we have an antipathy for that which is in opposition to God's word? That would be a measure of our love for his word. This is a characteristic of strong, mature Christian people. They have a strong antipathy for error. It's something that past generations had a lot of. It unfortunately is very lacking in the present generation. There's too many gentlemen's agreements to agree to disagree with error. The psalmist hates error. He hates falsehood. Whether it comes from his favorite professional athlete, whether it comes from a best-selling book that he has really been engaged in, until now, we got to that page, whether it comes from the plot of his favorite movie, he hates error, and he will not stand for it because he loves God's law. I trust we have no sympathy with false ways. If it's wrong, it's wrong. And that kind of attitude is a measure of our love for God's word. And so his love for God's word is impartial and comprehensive. It has led him to hate that which is contrary to God's word. And then the final thing I want to show you is that he knew progress in this. I want to encourage you, especially the young people, when it comes to this. This man wasn't born with a love for God's word. In fact, you remember how the psalm started. The psalm started, he was on the outside looking in. There were these other people who loved God's word, and he knew he didn't. And so he saw the blessedness of their walk, of their way, and he said, oh, that my ways were directed to keep God's statutes. I want that kind of life. I want to love God's word. And so he resolved to go that way. And he resolved, according to verse 8, to keep God's commandments. And according to verse 16, he resolves to delight in God's statutes. It began with resolving to do this. And some of you may be right there, on the outside looking in, having no real love for God's word, at least not in a comprehensive way. Maybe you love certain aspects of it, like the promises. Or you love things like, you know, finding a proof text that helps you win a theological argument or something. You get some pleasure, some satisfaction out of that. But you really can't say you love God's word. You're on the outside looking in when it comes to this. Well, the thing to do then is to resolve to delight yourself in the statutes and to walk in the law of the Lord like we're watching this man do. And let me tell you that this love for God's Word, it didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen. It's not that he resolves to go this way, and the very next verse he's saying, I love your Word. What was the first verse where he said that he loved God's Word? It wasn't until verse 47. There were 46 verses prior to that where he could not say he loved God's Word with that kind of love. He was growing in this. It doesn't happen overnight. This psalm is a progression. It records the maturing of this man. He doesn't testify to loving God's Word till about a quarter of the way through. And young people, you're just starting out in your walk with the Lord. You're just recently forming habits, healthy habits of being consistently in God's Word. You're going to read a lot in Scripture that you do not initially love. That's understandable. You haven't had the life's experiences yet to be able to make the connections between what you're reading and how it applies to life. A lot of those connections are not going to be made yet in your mind. And so there will be a lot of things you come across, and it will seem like they're irrelevant, or it'll seem like it's just idealistic, or it'll seem you won't really get how that fits in. But as you grow in the Lord, as you grow in your knowledge of the Word and your knowledge of Him, as you grow in your experience of life, you will come to find the sufficiency of this Word for every situation. And you will have a growing love for God's Word. So keep going and keep reading and keep walking and keep praying through those passages. And tell the Lord candidly. Tell Him how you feel about the passage you just read. Ask Him to give you a love for that portion of God's Word that you feel you don't have at this point. And if you'll keep going, if you'll keep pressing on, you will find your love for God's Word, like this man, growing and deepening. As we went through that list of 10 expressions of love, they got more toward the end. It was more frequent as you got toward the end of the psalm. He's growing in this. It's like a snowball going down a hill, growing as it goes. And that's the experience that you'll find in your walk with the Lord. Your love for God's Word will start dim. It'll be there because of the new birth, because of the principle of holiness within, and then it will grow as it's fed by the Holy Spirit. And as you go through life, it will get larger and larger and more sincere and more comprehensive and more impartial. And it will display itself more and more with an antipathy for what God hates. And you will be able to testify too in years to come that you really do love God's Word. It doesn't happen overnight, but it happens. It happens. So seek a love for God's Word. May the Lord bless us all with a sincere, genuine, comprehensive love for the Word of God. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we praise Thee for the blessings of this Lord's Day we've spent together. We thank You for answering our prayers and for meeting us in the opening of the Word and giving us help in our worship. We pray now as we go out into the world and separate from one another that You would give us all the grace and strength we need to walk with You, to walk in the Spirit, and to not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Give us a growing love for Your Word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.